Well, let's pray as we come to look at God's word together. Our Father, thank you for your precious word to us today. Please work in our hearts through this word, by your Spirit, so that we might trust you to keep us every step along the road as we follow our Lord Jesus toward our new eternal home with him. For his glory we pray. Amen. Well, many of our greatest fears in life come not from what we can see, but from what we can't see. No doubt this disease for a number of us will have added to that sense of fear, seemingly come from nowhere as it has. And Satan loves to consume us with fear by bigging up the unknown in our minds, letting our imaginations run riot so that we dream up all kinds of things which might be lurking around the next corner. And the result is that we can feel very insecure. And that's not new. You see, God's people have always known insecurity. In the days of the Old Testament, each year they made pilgrimage to Jerusalem for one of the major feasts. And they travelled on donkeys or on foot. They were exposed to inhospitable weather, inhospitable terrain, inhospitable locals sometimes, robbers lurking in caves and around corners. They went because God had told them to go. He told them to come to his temple city, to where his presence dwelt. But the road there was dangerous and uncertain. Would they all make it? Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, our road to the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem, to eternity in the presence of Jesus, is long and no less treacherous than the one that those pilgrims trod. We too carry the promises of God with us. Indeed, they are all yes and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the new covenant, we can be more certain than they were back then that God is for us. And yet even now, life can still often feel desperate and uncertain. Temptation hides and strikes. Trials ambush us and our loved ones. Besetting sin lingers and disasters can come along unannounced. And above all, in all of this, we feel our need for keeping. We feel our need for one who watches over us along the road of discipleship. And Psalm 121 is a song in the face of danger about the God who can and will keep us. Now, sure, the voices might be a little trembly at first in verse 1. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Maybe the hills that are looming around Jerusalem seem to the pilgrims to make them feel small and vulnerable and helpless. Maybe the hills around you right now feel huge, menacing even. You're worried about what's round that next corner. This is still a world in which Satan prowls and sin tempts and death lurks. We tend to see the shadows, don't we? And we want to cry out, who will help us now? And this song then is for us who need the Lord's keeping. Six times in the short span of this psalm, Psalm 121, that word for keeping or watching over. That's what we're told about the Lord toward his people. Psalm 121 tells us first that our God can keep us. Our God can keep us so we can be confident. That's our first point, verse 1 into verse 2. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We might recognise some of those words. We say them often in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. This psalm is where that phrase comes from. The covenant God is the creator God. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has made promises to us in the gospel, the God of the gospel, is the God who made the universe, who made everything, is completely therefore able to keep his promises and to keep us. The psalmist began his journey of following God troubled by what he could see ahead, huge hills. But crucially, he didn't trust in what he could see. He didn't depend on what he could see. He imagined that he might suffer, but he looked beyond the threats that he could see to the God who stands behind everything, to the maker of heaven and earth. Friends, if the hills around you suddenly feel terrifying, remember who made the hills. Our God knows every hill down to millimetres. Our God shaped every curve and every cliff on every hill. Our God planted every bush and flower and put each rock in its place on every hill. Our God planted and scattered every blade of grass and can count them on every hill. Our God governs your hill and every hill. Why are we so quickly tempted to fear the hills ahead? Look to the highest hill. Look to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He can keep you. He made everything. He sustains everything. There's nothing he doesn't know. There's nothing that shocks him or takes him by surprise. There's nothing he cannot do, especially for his people, his very own covenant people, bought with the precious blood of his son, Jesus. He could be trusted to rule every detail of your life and mine, every step of the way, even on the most difficult of days. No hill is too high, no night is too dark for the maker of heaven and earth. And when all we can see screams fear and anxiety, remember this. Surely the God who made the hills is, to quote from Jude, able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Our covenant God is the Creator God. He can keep us. He can keep us so we can be confident. Second point from Psalm 121 is that our God will keep us. Our God will keep us. His help for us is constant and comprehensive. Verse 3, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber or sleep. Until this past month, I guess very few of us would really have understood what the term furlough meant. But now many of us perhaps have all too keen an understanding of what it means. It means a temporary leave of absence from work. Well, here's the thing. The Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth, he is never on furlough. He never takes a temporary leave of absence from work. Verse 1 and 2, it's the psalmist's own voice, isn't it? My eyes, my help. Now, verse 3 and 4 and following, do you see the shift? He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. The shift is there because however confident we might be that God is powerful to help us, that he can keep us, we constantly need reminding of his character and his word to believe that he will keep us, to put our eggs in him as the one basket. We need to remind one another all the time that God is a tireless worker. He doesn't go out on furlough. He's never absent from his post, not even for a moment. He never even wearies. And that is something, isn't it? When you think about how you and I feel, he never so much as wearies. School at home, anyone? Our God never wearies. To think that we tend to see ourselves as workers for God, when actually all the time, we can hardly keep our eyes open after lunch. But God works for us around the clock. There's never a back in five notice on his door, so to speak. There's a wonderful verse towards the end of Isaiah in chapter 64 and verse 4. It says this: "From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you who works for those who wait for him." Our God loves to show his tireless power and wisdom and goodness by working for people who trust him. No wonder then that when Jesus came, it says of him what he said of himself: "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Our Lord Jesus works for his followers. You know, the gospel is not a help wanted sign, it's a help available sign. And if we truly grasp this, then the hill in front of us, however high it is, will hold no fear for us. We can rejoice in everything, give thanks for anything, and have the most wonderful peace in all things. And he will not let your foot slip. And not just Jerry Taylor's foot or your foot, but notice he will keep watch over Israel, over all the people of God. It reminds me at this time, especially of physical separation from you, from the brothers and sisters in Christ in Enderby and Thurlaston, that it's only as one who says that God is our God that I can truly know him as my God, my help. He watches over us. He keeps us. Our God can keep us. We can be confident. And our God will keep us. His help is constant and it's comprehensive. In this digital age of ours, it just seems to magnify and multiply everything, doesn't it? Everything is polarized to the nth degree. Opinions are starker, louder, prouder. I've not been able to watch Question Time for at least a couple of years without wanting to throw something at the screen. We're in an age that's prone to exaggeration, to hyperbole, to presenting the extremes. But you know, even we'd be hard pressed to overestimate the totality here of God's keeping, of his watching over us, of his care for us. It's comprehensive because it keeps us from all dangers. Do you see that in verse 5 and 6? The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord's care is as refreshing as it is complete. The shade for refreshment and the sun and the moon to show the completeness of the times. All dangers are covered. There are no exclusions on this policy. The Lord keeps us from all dangers. And it's comprehensive because it keeps us for all times. Do you see that in verse 7 and 8? Not just all dangers, but all times. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. It rather reminds me of Psalm 23, especially the line, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There's that sense here, not that God is promising us, his people, an easy, cushioned existence or life, because we will experience the dark valley, but he's promising that he could equip us to expect it so that we can face it, because we know that our God can keep us and will keep us. So Psalm 121, our God can keep us, we can be confident, and he will keep us. His help is constant and it is comprehensive. And you know what makes me absolutely certain that this psalm is true? Remember what we said earlier about who's singing the psalms? Jesus. He's the leader, isn't he, of Israel, the worship leader, the head of his church, the whole people of God. His life on earth was one long pilgrimage. He faced many dangers, toils, and snares along the way to Jerusalem. He often lifted his eyes in prayer, longing to be safe forever once more in his Father's presence. The paradise, of course, that he left for you and for me. Nothing shows the Father's willingness to keep you and me more than sending his only Son. And this psalm doubtless found its way onto Jesus' lips to become his prayer, his song, reassuring him that God was his Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and the earth, and that he watched over him. And the comfort of the psalm comes when we accept the challenge. And here's the challenge. Are you journeying with Jesus as a pilgrim or more as a tourist? A pilgrim or a tourist? There are such things as spiritual tourists, folk who dabble with God, who basically get on with life as they want to, but with a sort of spiritual equivalent now and then of a spa break or a Caribbean cruise to top up the tan. You know, when life doesn't quite work out as you want it to, when a hill gets slightly too big, perhaps you come to God and you say, well, I'll go a little bit further down your road if you'll only make my road that little bit less bumpy, hilly, a little bit less high. Spiritual tourism. Spiritual tourists aren't really heading anywhere, but they like the ride while it suits. They'll get off if they want to, as if the church, the people of God, were like a Guide Friday bus. They owe no loyalty to their fellow travellers. And since they expect to pay a few coins or notes in the plate when the sort of skipper passes it round, spiritual tourists expect others, therefore, to serve them. And when they've had their fix, they disappear away from God's people, at arm's length at least. And I need to say, if you're coming under conviction today, as the word of God has been read and explained, that you are perhaps coming as a spiritual tourist, then at the moment you can take no comfort from the words of this psalm, not yet. Because you need to come. You need the conviction of the Holy Spirit that you need to come to God as a pilgrim, as a disciple, as a follower along Jesus' road. On the other hand, pilgrims are purposeful. They commit to travelling in a group to which they belong and in which they serve, towards a spiritual destination. They transform the places that they pass through along the way for the better. The path of a pilgrim will take you through inhospitable terrain at personal cost. People were harmed on the way to Jerusalem. You and I will be harmed if we commit ourselves to following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. His pilgrim people don't carry around cameras on selfie sticks. We carry around a cross. But the cross that we carry is the cross which reminds us that our Lord and Saviour died for us. That's how we know that he loves us, and his resurrection, that following him is worth it. And the crown he received because of his cross, he is determined to share with all who will stick with him on his road till the end. Don't be a spiritual tourist, friends, and miss out on a purposeful pilgrimage to a glorious destination with the promise that the covenant God in Christ, who is the Creator God, can and will keep you every step of the way, constantly, comprehensively. No one is nearer to you than the one who keeps you. Nothing and no one can become between you and God. As the hymn goes, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Nothing can rob you of his love or of eternal life. Verse 7, he will watch over your life. He will keep your life. That's what it's all about, isn't it? We might endure weeks, months, years, even decades of pain and of difficulty, but he will keep your life. The life that matters most, the most satisfying and meaningful life, the one that is with Jesus and lasts forever. And if today, as a pilgrim, not as a tourist, but as a pilgrim, you do feel the need for keeping, for the Lord to watch over your life, if today you feel your weakness and those hills seem menacing around you and you wonder how you're going to make it home, take heart. Jesus prayed and continues to pray for your keeping. And as we saw last week, we have through his resurrection a living hope of an inheritance that will never perish or spoil or fade, which he is keeping in heaven for you, just as he's keeping us for it and for Christ. So wherever he calls you to go, however hard the journey feels, whatever fears well up along the way, those hills, hear him say, the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen.